T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston, a radio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. This NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Hour number three, NFL Sunday, Keefe Fourier and Wiggy. Fourier is off to do his TV pregame, so just Keefe and Wiggy here with you right now.
Oh, he left?
He left. He's gone.
Man, I was back on the water diving.
You had more stats? You had more info?
I did.
What do you got?
Four games, 2,000. Jermaine Wiggins, 16 receptions, 24 targets, 203 yards, and a touchdown.
Pretty good.
And that was pretty good.
That was right, leading right up into the 10-catch snowball game.
No. That was at the end of the 2000.
Oh, that was at the 2000. No, not yes. End of 01. Oh, I'm sorry. That was 2000. So when the team was 5-11, so actually pretty comparable to this this record.
Right, and comparable to Rod Rutledge was the only tight end on the roster
right.
Where, you know, hey, here's the opportunity that you're going to get. It's only four games. What can you do? And that's the point that I'm trying to make. And I don't know where Christian, when you look at these tight ends, they've been given the opportunity in the sense that they're on the field. They've probably been on the field.
Well, they're on the field, yes, but you just mentioned you had 16 catches on 24 targets. These guys combined have had what, like four targets?
Well, yeah, but the difference is, right? So these guys combined, when you look at their targets, I don't actually have
that. Dalton Keene has two catches on three targets. Asiasi, I feel like, is, what is he, like 0 for 1? Like it's
right, 0 for 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, my first game here in 2000 was the Monday night game against the Chiefs. And after, like I said, after that game, I think I had like four or five catches and a touchdown. So during that game, when they called my number, I made a play. Then
right.
That gave Charlie Weiss more confidence to say, okay, hey, we could dial up another play where he potentially can have another opportunity, and then I caught another ball. And so what that does is now it gives him the confidence. Do you think Josh McDaniels has confidence to call plays for Devin Asiasi or even Dalton Keene?
No. Well, right, but part of that is how much confidence does he have in any pass play right now?
Yeah, but
I think the quarterback is letting you down.
But we're talking about you play Madden. We're talking like a bootleg, where you slam
that's
the guy
not
for two.
Thing, though. That's not his thing. The
but where you slam the guy for 2 seconds and then you roll out, or you even brought it up. I think you might have brought it up a couple of weeks. A damn sneaking the tight end out of the backfield on goal line, and you throw it to Lyman and Cleve. You can't design a play.
You throw it to Lyman in Cleveland.
Right, you can't design a play for one of the tight ends. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I just think it's too early to completely give up on them. And one of the reasons is you have so many needs. We talked with Curran about, you know, look up and down the roster. What position do you feel good about? And tight end's obviously one that you don't feel good about. But you only have so many draft picks, and you only have so much money. And I know they have a good amount of it, but so much money to spend on free agency that I don't know if you can really get rid of all your tight ends and bring in a whole new stable of tight ends. I think you do need to sign a veteran tight end to join this group. You got to do that. But I'm still keeping these guys and hoping that one of them can pop next year.
I would say this. You sign a veteran guy, and you and I both agree on that. I would say then maybe in the fourth round, you draft another one. Mm. And then basically what you say is that, listen, if you two guys can't sink or swim, come training camp, see you later. Because how long you – it's the same with N'Keal Harry. How long do you wait around and keep giving a guy an opportunity when you know he can't play?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about Harry, because we've seen more from him than those other two guys.
Both, yes.
He's been here a year longer. He's played in 20 total games. He does have four career touchdowns. He's got just under 400 career yards. Mm-hmm. But this, again,
he's a number one. Yeah, and he's a first-round draft pick.
He's a first-round pick, so you potentially could have him for 5 years if you wanted. But he's averaging – when he plays, he averages less than 20 yards a game. Like, he is a huge disappointment. And again, because those other guys are third rounders, he's a first rounder. It's looked at as a little bit different. But what do you do with him? What's your plan for N'Keal Harry?
Oh, I told you. He's in the Uber share, whatever the hell it's called. Listen, guess what? You get shotgun because you're the first person out the door. And now it just depends on whether or not you're going to do it for Asiasi or any other players. Because when you talk about him, I think he's a perfect example, right? When you talk about N'Keal Harry as a player and you start to go, all right, wait a second. This is technically his first full year?
Yeah, because last year he started the year on IR, and I wonder if that was more just they didn't think he was picking it up rather than he was really hurt. But he played in seven games and then the playoff games. So he played in eight total games a year ago,
right?
And then he's played in 13. Today will be 14.
All right, so we have a great comparable for him on this team, Jacoby Myers. Similar first rookie year, didn't play a lot, right? And then you look at this year, they've both played in 13 games, but you look at Jacoby Myers, 53 catches on the season, you know, 660 yards, and no, he doesn't have any touchdowns, but N'Keal Harry, 31 catches, 29. Like, you look at those two, and that should be flipped. Like, N'Keal Harry.
Oh, easily flipped, yeah.
Right, and where you go, okay, maybe he showed me a little something, and it's just, because I'm not really tripping about the touchdowns. I want them. But when you think about, look at Julio Jones. He's never been a guy who puts up a ton of touchdowns a year, right? So, but I want you to be able to get in the end zone. I'm not saying I'm not going to, you know. But when you look at those numbers for Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry just off of this year, because they're very comparable as far as plays. Neither one of them got a ton of time last year. This is their full first season. Basically, they have the same quarterback. And look at the production from one guy who's an undrafted guy, second-year player, versus the other guy who's a first-round draft pick. And at least with Myers, he shows me flashes of, you know, a good route runner, can make the tough catch, is not afraid to go across the middle, hold on to the football. What have you seen from N'Keal Harry besides the one catch he had in I can't even remember what game that was where he caught it down the sidelines for like 30 yards. May have been against the Rams where he actually goes up and makes a play on a high point football.
Oh, yeah. I think it might have been.
Yeah, but
there's not a whole lot to get excited about with him. If anything, he either looks confused on plays or lost or like you can't really tell if a guy like gives a crap necessarily, but sometimes it feels like he doesn't. And I don't know if that's just the way he kind of attacks or does not attack the ball or runs with it or whatever, and it's frustrating to watch. And every single week you see AJ Brown or DK Metcalf,
right?
And again, guys that were drafted after him, which is going to be brought up all the time, and you see them grab a ball and make a guy miss and then are just impossible to tackle, and you're like, well, N'Keal Harry's similar size to those guys, and yet none of that, like no explosion, no anything. Like, it's so disappointing.
And we have to stop, because I know Christian was doing this before he left with, well, you know, the young players, they got to learn the offense. The only position that really has a lot of difficulty learning an offense is the quarterback. Because the quarterback got to know what everybody's doing. Got to be able to.
Two guys do great at it this year, too. Burrow before he got hurt and Herbert.
Right. So the quarterback position is extremely difficult. So if you say, well, you know, let's give this young quarterback some time because, you know, first year he's learning a lot, or even if it's like in camp, say first year kind of learn this offense. But when you're talking about receivers and tight ends, you played receiver in college, right?
Yeah.
Division III.
Yeah.
A crossing route is a crossing route.
It's the same play. Yeah.
A corner route is a corner route, right? You know, a 10-yard in route is a 10-yard in route until they say, okay, now we're adding man zone elements to it. But there are a lot of plays that are like, listen, whether it's man or zone, you run 10 yards and hang a left or you hang a right.
Yeah, no.
Like,
and this guy, they just don't seem to get it. But here's the other thing is, like I said, with the tight end position, now you're talking about the wide receivers. Can you just bring in, like, 6-7 new guys? Like, I think that's tough to do, isn't it?
Well, let's say you open up the checkbook and you bring in one of those receivers that we've all talked about, you know, at length, the guys that have free
Allen
agent.
Robinson.
Allen Robinson, sure. Right? Then you go out and get, let's say, a number two, like a Marvin Jones, right?
Okay.
Somebody that's going to be less than, you know, is going to be significantly less than Allen Robinson, but he's just looking for his opportunity to go somewhere.
Right. You could keep Myers as your three.
Right. You could keep Myers as your three, and then you go get that tight end. It doesn't have to necessarily be the Hunter Henry because you spent that money on Allen Robinson. But let's say it's a David Njoku, you know. Somebody who's going to say, you know, hey, you know, I need a year to show everybody I could play. So it's going to take a little bit of money knowing that, all right, I'm going to have the opportunity and be the guy at this position. And, you know, I'm just throwing his name out there.
No, I understand. I mean, it needs to be and again, you're not going to get this level, but it needs to be a Moss, Welker, Stallworth type of offseason. Where you said, wow, we had, after 06, you're like, we got nothing. Sorry, Brady, we gave you nothing. 07, you went overboard, and it almost paid off in spectacular fashion.
Right,
so
and that's
what they need to do.
Right, and I could see them, now that we know, that's why, you know, one of the questions I asked Tom Curran, and what was, to me, the biggest thing that we got from him, when I asked, well, this offseason is really going to be big for Bill, and he's talking about they might have almost $80 million, and he's hearing whispers that they're going to be aggressive.
Yeah,
that I feel confident as somebody who's a fan of this team to go, okay, then I want to see you do those, because if you do those couple of things on the offensive side of the football, you now instantly, it's projected, but now you instantly go, okay, this pass game looks like it could be okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. This offseason is going to be a huge one. And speaking of the offseason, we have a report from Adam Schefter this morning. Wiggy, you're going to want to hear this one.
Okay.
That the Patriots and Cam Newton are expected to part ways after this season.
Okay.
So, apparently, Schefter was on this morning and was talking about the two sides. And it looks like, despite Newton getting the start every single game this season when he was available.
Right.
It looks like this is going to be a one-and-done situation here in New England. No real word on, you know, Stidham or where they're going to go from there, but just that information is pretty significant.
Well, that's huge information, right? That was, you know, we've been sitting here for almost, I don't know how
I
many
thought
hours.
He'd be back. I honestly did. The way Belichick
so
loves
did
the
I.
guy, I thought he was going to convince himself that, you know what, give him a full season, just like Cam was saying. You know, when Cam told you guys that, you know, he would have loved a whole season, and then Bill was asked about it, and Bill was like, yeah, I kind of agree with him. So I was like, oh my God, he's going to be back. This guy's going to be back. But according to Schefter, it looks like it will not be.
Right. And so there you go. So now now we know he's not going to be back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we really care about Stidham. I think Stidham is a non-factor in this one, right? Whether he comes
back. I don't think Stidham's the starter, but again, if we're talking about, you know, giving up on Keene or Asiasi or Harry or them at least having that discussion, wouldn't you want to throw Stidham a couple of games and then decide whether or not he should be on the roster? Why not? Newton's not on the team next year, why would you even play him today?
Okay, so yeah, I think I don't understand that one. Maybe I'm with you on that when you throw Stidham in there just because you've already basically have said you're parting ways with Cam Newton, so what the hell? But I think when I say he's a non-factor, now the question becomes, okay, so Cam's gone, or at least that's what the reports are. Who is that veteran bridge guy that the Patriots are now going to entertain? And are they going with I think you might have been a big fan of the reclamation project and Carson Wentz.
I would. A whole bunch of those guys. The guy you're going to see today, Sam Darnold, I would take. Carson Wentz, I would take. I would
right,
not take
Dwayne
Haskins.
You this.
I draw the line there.
No, I know that, but you're big on the Carson Wentz and even the Sam Darnold. If you go get those guys, can you still then use your first-round draft pick to draft a quarterback? Or does that become too much of an issue because those are younger players that are you trying to maybe go the Ryan Tannehill route?
Well, I think if you go with Darnold, who's even younger than Wentz, I think you go with Darnold, I don't think it would make sense to also draft a first-round quarterback. I think you're then thinking that you're going to be able to fix him a la Tannehill, as you said, and he's going to be your guy for the future. If you go with somebody older, or if you go down the Garoppolo-Stafford route, I think that would be your guy for a couple of years, but I wouldn't rule out drafting a guy in the first round still for those guys.
All right,
The younger guys, I wouldn't.
What direction would you like to see this team go in? Like, because now we know, if based on what Adam Schefter's reporting, Cam's out of the picture. So now it's like, okay, what direction do you want to see this team go in? That bridge quarterback being a free agent who, whether it's a Fitzpatrick, a Trubisky, or whoever else, or, and the young quarterback, but if you go with Trubisky, isn't he kind of like Donald? Do you then still draft a quarterback with the first-round pick?
I wouldn't in the first round because, again, he's so young. I think you'd be committing to him being your long-term answer there. So what I would hope to do, if it was up to me, I think you end up losing today, right? You go out there, you're like, hey, we're going to give our best effort, but not really, and you lose, and now you get the 10th pick in the draft.
Yep.
And from there, you have an opportunity to probably move up. So you're not going to get Lawrence, you're not going to get Fields, but you might put yourself in a position to get whoever you feel.
You might be able to get one of those two, though. When you think about it, you might be Field, not Lawrence, but I mean, because you're saying if
Lawrence is going to go to Jacksonville.
Okay,
at one, and then the Jets. There was another Adam Schefter report that they are either going to trade the number 2 pick or Darnold. It'll probably more likely be Darnold, and then they will probably take Fields at 2. That'd be my guess.
Okay.
That'd be my guess.
Not the Zach Wilson kid. So you're going to have the opportunity.
I think Wilson and Lance at least could be
there for
if you're at 10, you're probably going to have to move up, but you're going to be able to move up.
Okay.
That would be my approach. What would you do for quarterback?
I would try to push for whichever, like, if we're saying 1 and 2 are gone, which there's a good chance.
I think so, yeah.
The first and second quarterback are gone. I would then push to get the third, fourth, or fifth quarterback. Preferably, I would push to get close as I can to get that third guy, right?
Definitely.
Whoever that is.
Whoever they think it is. Yeah, right. Yeah. If they think it's Trey Lance, great. If they think it's Zach Wilson, great. I like Kyle Trask, even though the bowl game he was trash. But, like, yeah, I like, fine. That's
right. Whoever that guy is. So I would try to get that guy. But if I'm going to get that guy, then that tells me I can't really trade for Stafford, right? Because Stafford's only 33 years old or 32, right?
Yeah.
So now how long does the window of my young quarterback that I drafted for, you know, whether it's top 10 or 11th or 12th, how long does he have to now sit on the bench? Does it become an Aaron Rodgers situation where maybe it's 4 years? Do I want to do that? But it's in a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm
okay starting the rookie. Or even if he doesn't start week one, maybe you do the Tua and he starts whatever week that was.
But you want him starting by year two.
100%. Maybe even before that. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know if Stafford allows you to do that.
No, I think it's probably an either or. Now, let's say you win today, you're picking 16. The way the draft is going, you know, 4 or 5 quarterbacks are off the board and you can't move up and you're sitting there and you're like, all right, we can either reach for the 6th quarterback or you take it, you take a D tackle like Belichick might, you know, shore up the run defense. And then maybe
from a Division II school.
From a guy we've never seen play. And then you go for the older quarterback. Maybe then that's the play because you missed out on the cream of the crop this year.
Right.
And you go after Stafford, you go after Wentz, or you do whatever you can there. Maybe that's the fallback plan.
Okay, so that's a good fallback plan, but I think the issue that I have with that plan is then that tells me that Bills not aggressive in the draft as far as trading, right? Because I think we know they're hovering at 14 right now.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you're aggressive and you're trading Gilmore and you're moving on from some of these other guys,
yeah.
I feel like if you're aggressive, you can get to 10, right, from 14.
Yeah.
So if you can get to 10.
Or you lose today, you're sitting there at 10.
Right. But let's just say they win just for, you know.
All right.
But if you can get to 10, I think you're in the world just based on the draft order that you would be able to get one of those top five guys. And
yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. Top five for sure. Yeah.
Right, so I think you do everything in your power, whether you win or lose today, to make sure you trade up to get to one of those guys that are in the top five, and that's the guy you have to get. So I feel like...
What about just taking Devontae Smith? Just go wide receiver.
He's good, man.
The guy's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's good, but you got to have somebody to throw him the football.
Yeah, you do.
But
side topic, is he too thin? The guy's thin.
Yeah, but what's his face is super skinny too down in Carolina, Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson's thin, but I feel like he's even tall. Yeah, but Devontae Smith, watch him. Like, he is so, but he's just so good.
Well, question for Devontae Smith on you guys. Well, if they draft Devontae Smith first round, Mac Jones second round, grab his college quarterback.
Yeah, I don't like Mac Jones as much as
with his
other
college
do.
Running back Damien Harris.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Just get the whole
Alabama.
So
now we're making
we're calling the
Alabama of the AFC East. Well, see, I like this thing that you throw out there, Rich, okay?
Right.
So here's how I think you can make this work, because I think Devontae Smith is going to be good because DeAndre Hopkins is a skinny dude anyway. He's not that big dude, but he's a great route runner, and I think that's the thing you've seen with Devontae Smith.
And hands.
Right, hands, his ability to catch the football, his ability to run after catch. What you could do is go your route, Stafford and a Devontae Smith. You got that veteran quarterback that can probably be here for 3-4 years in Stafford, right?
Yep.
And look at where he's still relatively young. You might not have to pay him a ton. You get the Devontae Smith. You might even be able to do, if you really are aggressive, you might be able to draft Devontae Smith and sign Allen Robinson and also trade for Stafford.
See, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're turning this team around. They'll be back in the playoffs next year with that. Yeah, that would work.
Right, so now you got that. And then you get that, like, lower-level David Njoku type of free agent who's like, all right, I just need to show people what it would be like for me to be the guy on a team.
Oh,
I can catch.
They don't need an all-pro tight end. They need an NFL tight end.
I know David Njoku's a former first round draft pick.
Yeah, but still, he hasn't exactly like taken the league by storm. Like, he's had good games here and there, but that's nothing crazy. So,
but you could realistically do that because of the money that you're gonna have. It doesn't cost you a ton of money if you draft a guy up there in the first round. How about this? Do you think Devontae Smith goes before the top 10?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I got to look at some more mock drafts. I don't know where some of these guys have them.
So, because here's another option for you. Now maybe chew on this one. You're still going to get the Allen Robinson and the Matthew Stafford. Rather than Devontae Smith, maybe you go after a guy like Kyle Pitts who might be around there for you.
Okay, I don't hate that. So then you get Kyle Pitts. Then you spend your money on the wide receiver. You don't need to go. You don't even need Njoku at that point.
No, you don't need Njoku, but you don't get Devontae Smith, but you get Allen Robinson, right? You get Allen Robinson or somebody of that ilk, like one of those top free agent wide receivers. Now you use the draft pick because maybe you're a little bit too far, or maybe it costs you a little bit too much to get up to 10. Maybe you can jump to 11 or 12, and Kyle Pitts is hovering around there, and you go, all right, now everything that everybody's saying about Kyle Pitts is they're saying, you know, what this guy's – is going to be an unbelievable player, just a mismatch nightmare. You know what that does for you because you had a Rob Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. And so now you can get that second-tier wide receiver after Allen Robinson. And I don't know who that guy is, and I just threw Marvin Jones out there because he's a step down. But so now you get the 1-2, Kyle Pitts and Matthew Stafford.
I like it. I think that could work out. We're turning this team around. That's what we're doing. I'm looking at one Walter Football Mock Draft has Devontae Smith at 8.
Okay.
So, I mean, whatever. But that's sort of the ballpark that's where they have him. You can join in on the conversation as we look towards this Patriots offseason, but also the report from Adam Schefter this morning that it looks like the Patriots and Cam Newton will part ways after the year. So this will be the last time you see Cam Newton in a Patriots uniform today at 1 o'clock against the Jets. We'll also get the full list of inactives when we come back. You're listening to NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Cam Newton joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, according to Adam Schefter, it'll be one and done for Cam Newton in New England, as the two sides are expected to part ways following today's game when the Patriots close out the year against the New York Jets, kickoff at 1 o'clock. Jets also expected to part ways with head coach Adam Gase following today's game. We'll have the full list of inactives coming out in just a few minutes. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who have the number one pick in the upcoming draft, are expected to move on from their head coach, Doug Marrone, this offseason, and are rumored to be in talks with former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer. And the Celtics are in action today, taking on the Detroit Pistons at 3 o'clock. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
All right, back here on NFL Sunday, time for the Patriots Inactives, which is brought to you by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information. And Wiggy, we already knew a few of these. No David Andrews or Shaq Mason today. Damian Harris was already placed on IR. Also inactive today, Anfernee Jennings, Brian Hoyer, Therese Hall, D'Angelo Ross, and D. Virgin. They recently added to the team, but he will not be making his first appearance.
Therese Hall and Anfernee Jennings, those are interesting. Two linebackers that have, you know, in the last couple of weeks have been playing, you know, playing a decent amount. So that's interesting.
So we'll see. I mean, that's just been a position where they've had nobody, you know, all year long. Therese Hall,
didn't practice all week with an ankle injury, and Anthony Jennings has a shoulder injury. So,
but even like a guy like Terrez Hall, right? He's shown flashes of, all right, you know, like this kid.
Yeah,
seems
he has
like,
a little bit. Yep.
Like he seems like he's okay. You know, same with Josh Uche. I still I don't understand the infatuation with Chase Winovich because I feel like he can't do anything except maybe rush the quarterback every now and then, and it's not enough to be like, all right, you know what, I can live with that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But the bigger story for this team is that, according to Adam Schefter anyway, the Patriots are going to move on from Cam Newton in the offseason, which, again, makes it odd to me that he's even starting today. There's definitely a – Bill Belichick loves Cam Newton, though. Like, that's one thing I think that is clear, and maybe doesn't want to bench him, doesn't want to shame him, or doesn't think he can really learn much from a start from Jarrett Stidham. But I still don't understand that. Like, I feel like one start – if you just said all week – you're going to get first-team reps all week long. You're going to prepare as the starter. It's going to be 0-0 when you take the field rather than coming in down 20 because, you know, we're in a blowout. Like, we're going to let you play a full game and see how you do. I really don't see what the harm in that is.
No. I don't right? either.
Like,
but
what are we doing?
I think it goes back to, like I've said this before, I think it goes back to Bill just – going, I'm going to play the guys just for the keep the culture the way it is. I'm going to play the guys that have proven, whether it's through working hard, whether it's through, you know, doing everything right. I'm going to, and the fact that they give us the best chance of winning, I'm going to actually play those guys because, you know, I'm with you. Like, the thing is, like, they didn't just realize today when Adam Schefter comes out with this report that, oh, they're parting ways. Like, this is something that they just didn't decide this morning. This is something that they've been probably, it's been ongoing for the, you know, a couple of weeks where, you know, Cam's agent, because I've been in this situation before, Cam's agent is probably calling up the organization and saying, hey, what are we doing? Right. Are we going to be able to work something out? What's the, you know, I need some insight here, whether or not, you know, you're going to bring my guy back or give him a chance or what the opportunity is. Because if not, then I'm going to use my connections or, you know, I'm going to get to my Rolodex and start saying, calling some other teams. Hey, my guy's going to be a free agent. Any interest there? You know what I'm saying? So this is something that's been going on for a couple of weeks. And like you said, if they knew that they were going to do this at the beginning of the week, why not just say, all right, well, we're going to start Stidham this week.
It's bizarre. All right, let's hear exactly what Adam Schefter saying on ESPN's NFL Countdown.
And the Patriots quarterback Cam Newton sounded resigned this week to the fact that he'll be moving on from New England. It looks like he's looking for something different. The Patriots are looking for something different. Both sides enjoyed their relationship, but both sides expect that it will take them to a different place and a different direction in 2021 with Cam Newton likely moving on and the Patriots in search of a new quarterback for next season. We'll see what direction they decide to go ultimately.
Kind of covers himself a little bit, doesn't he? Moving on? Come on.
Or it was based off of how Cam Newton was talking this week.
So he started with Cam Newton talking, but then he did say the Patriots are going to be moving on too. But you're right, he sort of was...
Well, he didn't like, you know, normally you go, well, I have some sources out there that's saying that the Patriots and Cam Newton are going to be going in different directions.
Oh,
he basically is giving us this report off of... It almost seems like more so how Cam has just been talking this week. And because the Patriots haven't said anything.
No.
You know, and
But Schefter talks to the Patriots, and I sort of thought that that's where that was going a little bit more.
Right. I thought it was going to be more like, you know, from what I'm hearing, the Patriots and Cam Newton are going to mutually decide to part ways, right? That's what I thought I was going to hear. This is almost like.
He's
him
likely.
Just,
I hate the light. Like, just right. He's got to cover himself. So the off chance that
and there's
they
no
do,
real source. And it's just like, you know, there's no
God.
Like.
Come yes. on. Can you play that one more time, Josh? I just want to wrap my head around it one more time.
Both sides expect that it will take them to a different place and a different direction in 2021 with Cam Newton likely moving on and the Patriots in search of a new quarterback for next season.
But right. If you heard the beginning part of it when he was like saying. What makes him think this? It was
because
more,
of Cam.
Yeah, because of Cam.
But this, we always talk about this with Schefter. This is a report or just an opinion?
It sounds
that
like it's
sounded
a report.
Like an opinion.
And everybody else is taking it. Like Pro Football Talk has got a story up about it. A bunch of football writers have taken to it on Twitter, and they're just like the headline is Schefter says Newton done in New England after this year. But like, is that even 100% what he's saying?
No, but because if you hear it over like from the beginning,
yeah. Start Josh. Do the entire thing again. Right from the jump.
And the Patriots quarterback Cam Newton sounded resigned this week to the fact that he'll be moving on from New England. It looks like he's looking for something different. The Patriots are looking for something different. Both sides enjoyed their relationship, but both sides expect that it will take them to a different place and a different direction in 2021 with Cam Newton likely moving on and the Patriots in search of a new quarterback for next season.
He's making it seem like Cam said it, though, if you listen
right,
to it.
Right.
No,
saying,
I know he is, but he also does say the Patriots are going to be moving on. And
well, he said both sides are looking like they
He really made a meal out of that. Why couldn't he just say Cam's done here after sources say Patriots will not bring back Cam Newton. Like he had a thing. It was very clear before. He said the Jets are either going to trade the second pick or Sam Darnold. Like that's what they're doing. They're trading one of those two things. That's what he said. At least that's the report. But with this one, he's trying to like cover himself. He's like, yeah, Cam's kind of resigned to the fact that he's gone and he'll likely be gone. You're like, okay. I still think he will be gone.
All right,
I think there's enough maybe in there. And I think the Patriots have just sort of they've seen what they've gotten with Cam Newton. They've plenty of examples of him not being the guy going forward.
Right. Okay. So let's just go with Schefter's butchered report, where we don't know if it's an opinion or if it's actually, you know,
he just listened to the Cam interview and he's like, oh yeah, this guy's gone.
Right. Right. Exactly. Like, that's what it sounds like. But let's just say that you know they do decide to part ways. I think the biggest question now for Patriots fans is going to be like, all right, what is the next step from Bill Belichick? Because it's about getting back to relevance. Yep. And when I say relevance, it's about putting a playoff caliber quality football team on the field next year, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that could be done in a few pieces. And you go, okay, this team has the potential, and obviously starting with the quarterback. Now it's about where does he go from here, because I'm not a huge fan on, I don't want Sam Darnold.
Okay.
Like if you're moving on, I don't want Sam Darnold. I don't want Fitzpatrick. I don't want your boy Garoppolo. I don't want Jacoby Brissett.
Boy. I don't want him either.
Well, you know, because I feel like all those guys basically, you know.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put Sam Darnold in the same camp as Ryan Fitzpatrick or even Jacoby Brissett. I feel like Darnold has just had horrible coaching and could be good. I think he has a chance to be good, and he's really young. Those other guys we already know. Fitzpatrick would be a one-year guy anyway. I think Darnold could be maybe your future quarterback if you're able to coach him up.
Right, but see, I would rather Stafford and draft a kid.
Okay.
But then again, I wouldn't rather do that because now, like I said, Stafford becomes a guy.
You got to pick an option here. What do you
think? All right, so if I'm going to pick an option.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna pick an option, I'm drafting a guy, and
okay.
then I'm spending all my money
on receivers and tight ends.
Even defensive players, whatever you want to do. I'm spending all my money to build the team.
Improve a lot,
and then I guess maybe I'll go the Fitzpatrick or. You know, whatever.
Yeah, grab some other guy, like, just in case, or maybe he even starts the first couple of weeks, like, you know, Tyrod Taylor was supposed to do with the Chargers. Or
yeah, like, that's where maybe the Jacoby Brissett, give me whatever other Scribini you want,
right.
And then hopefully by week five, the new kid's in, and you're in a position where you got enough talent around the new kid where he doesn't have to do a ton, and you're kind of like the Dolphins.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's... That's definitely a one approach and something that they could look into. Your thoughts on this, 617-779-7937, and can you help decipher the Adam Schefter report? Is he saying Cam's definitely done, or what is he really getting at? You can weigh in on all of that with us. It is Keith Fourier will be rejoining us here shortly. And Wiggy, you're listening to NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEI.
And the Patriots quarterback Cam Newton sounded resigned this week to the fact that he'll be moving on from New England. It looks like he's looking for something different. The Patriots are looking for something different. Both sides enjoyed their relationship, but both sides expect that it will take them to a different place and a different direction in 2021, with Cam Newton likely moving on and the Patriots in search of a new quarterback for next season. We'll see what direction.
All right, well, that's Adam Schefter's, quote, report from this morning on NFL Countdown. This is NFL Sunday here on WEI. Keith and Wiggy, Fourier will rejoin us here shortly. The one part about that where I think it could be considered a report is he definitely starts out by saying Cam Newton sounded a certain way. And so that's just him reading into Cam's interviews, which you and I do every single day. And you,
right.
know, you actually do the interviews. We react to them and everything else. But when he said Cam expects to go somewhere else and the Patriots expect to look somewhere else, like, that Patriots part, I feel like, has to be with him talking to somebody in the organization.
Yeah, but why wouldn't he preface it like that? Like, the same way he did with the Jets, right? Like, the
right.
same
he
way
made
when
that
you,
pretty clear. Yeah.
With the Jets report. Like, he prefaces it like he had some inside information from somebody that this was what they're doing. Like, when you hear that, does that make you think, as just somebody who's listening to that, and go, oh, he's got some inside information?
Yeah, like, yeah, anybody can listen to the interviews, right?
Right, right. And anybody could sit there and go, based on what I heard Cam Newton say, because that was his biggest
right,
thing.
Right, right, right.
It's based on, like, how Cam Newton,
like,
sounded.
He's resigned to the fact that he's gone. It's like, okay, well.
I mean, how would you feel if you, you know, hadn't done nothing all year and this was the last game of the season?
Right.
You probably would be thinking, like, yeah, there's probably a good chance I'm not going to be here next year, based on the way that you're talking. And I mean, he's obviously said to us before that he would love the opportunity to be back, right? So,
right, and they could be in the exact same situation, both of them, this coming off season. There are other teams around the league, I'm sure, aren't going to be throwing a lot of money at Cam Newton.
Nope.
But the Patriots might, depending on where their draft pick falls, depending on what quarterbacks do or do not get traded, they might be in a similar spot. And that's why I hate at the very end, he's like, like, this whole thing, you're like, oh, he's saying he's going to be gone. And he's like, likely gone. You're like, all right, well, you just kind of covered yourself because he didn't say definitely gone. He just said likely. And I don't really know what the sourcing is on there. So it is confusing. Let's go back to the phones right now. Let's start with Matt in Rhode Island. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, guys. I'm just prefacing this conversation by just saying likely, possibly, potentially.
Smart.
Right.
Cover yourself.
Any other answers you might want to throw out?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I did call about the tight ends, but I just quickly, I think the path of least resistance for the QBs, basically, besides the trade, and is Jameis Winston. I think he, after a year with New Orleans, with Payton and Breeze, I think he might be able to reset his career. And, you know, he was on a one-year deal, so I don't know how much he could demand. But it's just a thought. Because
I'd take him.
The teams that are before us in the draft, there's a lot of teams that probably will grab a quarterback, and I don't know what you're going to get, even if you're at 10. You know what I mean?
Well, we
have, so, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. What's your point on the tight ends?
Oh, the tight ends. Well, no, I agree with Wiggy over Fourier on this one. These two guys have shown very little compete level on the field. They both came in as what, third round and fourth round draft picks?
Both third round picks. Yep.
I mean, Dalton Keene, last year against University of Miami, he lit up he had three touchdowns. He was the best player in the field. I mean, I know it's a different game, but, you know, they're just really showing no, like, pop or no glimpses of doing anything. I'll throw that in with N'Keal Harry, and to my point, I think you just got to get, obviously, a lot more dynamic in the skilled positions. And,
yep, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, because this offense is not, you know, Patriots have always have the reputation of having a tough offense to to learn, as Julian Edelman put it, trigonometry. But I think these guys are just really underperforming, and I don't know what they need to, you know, get themselves up for playing in the NFL. But
I'm with you, Matt. It's been bad. Yeah, thanks for the call. And I think the problem is I just don't know how many guys are going to be, because you already have so many needs across the board, and I just wonder, can you really now get rid of these young guys who aren't making a lot of money, and now you're going to have to bring in more guys and just completely redo the position? Like, you're going to need all new linebackers. You're probably going to need, depending on what's going on with, you know, Gilmore and the McCourties and some of those, you're going to have to replace some of those guys. Tooney's going to be gone. Like, there's a lot that needs to change.
Right, but doesn't it, don't you look and go, okay, like, you know, when you start to, especially with free agency, right, I almost feel like you start to look and go, okay, what are the positions that we feel like we need a plug and play, but we need a plug with guys that we know can instantly come in and be, you know, a difference maker. And then you got to look at, there's another tier, like, okay, what other positions can we plug and play guys that don't have to be superstars? Like, so everybody no one expected Trent Brown to do what he did as the starting left tackle. Right? So that's a plug and play, but the expectations are not extremely high. Like, Bill might be able to say, okay, I can find some offensive linemen that I can plug and play, and then they could turn out to be good players, whether it's through free agency or maybe even in the draft, right? So you got to start. But can you find a plug and play stud wide receiver or stud tight end, you know, and without that guy being, I don't know, like, you know, without that guy being a free agent and maybe being a second, third, fourth round pick, it seems pretty tough to do.
Yeah,
so
you
would have to spend that 14th or 15th overall pick, or if you can get up to close to the top 10 on that position, if you decide, well, how are we getting our quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, no matter what position they take this year, their first round pick has to hit. It just does, because they've gone too long without a dynamic first round pick, a guy that you have, you know, that could start for 5 years and not make a lot of money and then hopefully sign an extension and, you know, be on your team for a long time. You know, you got to go back to Hightower, like, the, you know, as far as a first round pick that you've had that you've liked and you've wanted to keep this whole time, like, it's been a while.
And that guy, I didn't mean to cut you off, Rich, but doesn't that guy have to be a consensus? Like, when N'Keal Harry, nobody looked at him in college and goes, oh, this guy's a can't miss. Like, talking about Devontae Smith, the kid from Alabama, you're going, like, this kid looks like he's a can't miss. Now, if you happen to miss on him, that's just, you know, bad luck. But he looks like he's a can't miss. Kyle Pitts, can't miss. Like, those are guys you got to go get.
Well, especially, you know, they've – a lot of times have been given the excuse, well, they're drafting, you know, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Well, if you're picking 12, 13, 14, like, that, you don't get that excuse as much. Like, you need to hit on that. And, you know, we'll see after today where they end up. Back to the phones. Jack is in New Hampshire. He joins us next. What's up, Jack?
Guys, good morning. Yeah, I was listening to you talking about, you know, what quarterback would you go with next year, but you also were talking about signing free agent wide receivers and tight ends. I think you got to have a quarterback that they like, they trust, they think will help them. You can't just, you know, go with a rookie. But is Alex Smith a free agent next year?
Yeah, I believe so. I double check.
A guy like him, you know, for 1 year, and then, you know, you could draft one of the, I don't know, maybe the guy from North Dakota, is that where he's from? Or
Lance.
North Dakota State, Trey Lance, yeah.
And you could develop him, and he could game. I mean, the guy he's tough, he's professional. You know, he gets hurt now and then, but for 1 year, I think he would be good to, you know, show a rookie how to be a pro.
But if you're going to go that, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to throw another name out there for you. If you're going to go in that direction, then why not go with, like, a Jacoby Brissett? You know, somebody who doesn't have, like, a RoboCop leg.
Well, he's young. He would be, you know, wanting to stay around a while.
Right, but you don't look at him as being the guy that, like, I look at it, if you bring in a Matthew Stafford, you look and go, okay, this guy could be our guy for the next 3 years, right? Whereas a Jacoby Brissett, you look at him and go, all right, if he comes out in week 4 or 5, he doesn't look good, boom, we're throwing the young kid in. You know what I mean? And he's still a veteran that can kind of give that, you know, presence of being a leader and that everything that this young kid may need. But he's that's what you have to stay away from. You have to stay away from the quarterbacks that are going to make you go, oh, this kid could or this guy could play for the next 2 or 3 years, and now this rookie has to sit on the bench for right. that. If you, especially if right. you're wasting a draft pick in the teens or, you know, close to the top 10 on a quarterback. You don't want it. Like the Aaron Rodgers days, a quarterback sitting on the bench for 4 years?
No, it doesn't happen. Yeah.
Find me the last quarterback since Aaron Rodgers that did that.
Sat that long? I mean, I guess you got to go to Garoppolo, right? He's sitting by, and then he didn't even take over here, though. Like, he sat right. that long and then had to get traded and played somewhere else. But, yeah, it doesn't happen.
And we don't even know if he's good. I mean, the jury's still out on him, right? Say.
Yeah, I definitely don't think he's great. I mean, he's clearly an NFL starting quarterback. But,
right.
Yeah,
and he was also a second-round pick. Find me a guy, top 15, or even a first-round guy, because we'll use Aaron Rodgers for the example, a first-round draft pick at the quarterback position that sat 3 years.
Oh, my God, yeah. Doesn't happen.
No. Right, so if you're spending a draft pick on a quarterback, then the guy in front of him has to be like a Tyrod Taylor, has to be like a Jacoby Brissett, has to be like the guy that I said, a Cam Newton, a guy that knows, like, I'm just keeping the seat warm.
Yeah.
And I might only be I'm probably only going to keep the seat warm at most for a year.
Right. All right, we'll get in more of this Adam Schefter quote report when Fourier rejoins the show. Is Cam Newton done here in New England? Schefter sort of saying that he is, also kind of just reading Cam Newton's responses and interviews. So I don't know exactly what to make of that. I think he's gone. I don't know if the Schefter report really helps me or not, but we'll get into that. Plus, we'll go around the NFL later on here in the final hour of the program. A lot of playoff implications on the line. Still teams trying to secure their playoff spots today. So we'll tell you what needs to happen for teams to get in or out. And you can join us as well, 617-779-7937. You're listening to NFL Sunday. It's presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com. By Zuti. Build any app your company needs fast. Visit Zuti.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro.